Time now for your comments. Many emails this week praised our story about the U.S. government using electronic ankle bracelets on some immigrants. But the last line in that report prompted several of you to ask, are officials at Homeland Security really considering putting ankle monitors on every non-citizen?
The answer to that question is no. To be clear on what we did report, it is true that in the future, many more immigrants may have to wear monitors. Here's an exchange between Victor Cerda, the official in charge of the program, and reporter Daniel Zwerdling.
So it's possible that a few years from now, we could see hundreds of thousands of immigrants walking around the country wearing these ankle bracelets, at least for a time.
Yeah, I would not rule that out.
Cerda suggests the program might include every immigrant who is not in jail and who's going through hearings to get permission to stay here. That might include people applying for asylum or those who've overstayed their visas, but the bracelets are not being contemplated for most people with green cards and visitors with valid visas.
Matthew Cuby McDowell of Tempe, Arizona, appreciated our story about how the media uses phrases like the war on terror, but says we should have taken a closer look at the way the word terror is used. When did terrorism become terror, he wants to know. And he writes, terror is an emotion, not a country, and any actual war on terror would better be fought by an army of psychiatrists. We might as well follow it up with a war on ennui while we're at it.
Several of you love the sound of John Ridley sampling a $10,000 martini at New York's Algonquin Hotel. But a few listeners, like Aubrey Fremantle of Chinook, Washington, wrote, if NPR used their precious funds to pay for this stunt, I need to rethink my donations. Truth is, we will spend whatever we have to spend in pursuit of news, but it so happens that John Ridley, a screenwriter and author, paid for his own martini, thank you very much. It came with a real diamond, which he donated to charity.
Finally, one of our listeners writes that he knew exactly what was coming when he heard this clip in our story about a congressional caucus that will focus on civility.
It is not going to be a bunch of members of Congress sitting in a circle, holding hands, swaying back and forth, singing Kumbaya.
That was Congressman Steve Israel of New York. Listener Skip Mendler of Holmesdale, Pennsylvania writes, I knew the congressman would say we're not going to sit in a circle and sing Kumbaya. He continues, this brought up something I've been wondering for a while. Just what is so wrong with Kumbaya? I suspect that a LexisNexis search would bring up thousands of hits trashing this fine little song. Somehow it's become a symbol of liberal touchy-feeliness.
Na, na, kumbaya. Na, na, kumbaya.
For those of you who put yourself squarely in the kumbaya bashing camp, we promise this will be over in a moment. Love it or hate it, many of us have sung it around a campfire at least once in our lives. Kumbaya comes from the Gullah dialect, a mix of African languages and English, once spoken by slaves in parts of the American South. The word means, come by here.
And please, as always, write to us. The address is morning@npr.org. Tell us where you live and how to pronounce your name.
Kumbaya. Trees are sleeping. Kumbaya.